V'hu gam hu, and he, for his part, mekabel alav malchusei, accepts Hashem's kingship upon himself, li yois melech alav, so that Hashem may be king over him, v'lav day, to serve him, v'las yishitzoynei b'chol minei avedas evet, and to do his will in all kinds of servile work. From Hashem's perspective, he chooses you, he wants to be a king over you, so man, the Jew, responds in kind, v'hu gam hu, accepts upon himself that Hashem is my king and I'm going to serve him in every way that a servant serves his master. And Alter Rebbe adds even more. Not just is his entire kingship dependent upon me, because for me the world was created and he chose me to be a king over, but like an ordinary king, the king can be in one location and his subjects in another location. The king is in the palace and the subjects are living in their home. So perhaps one can think, yes, Hashem chose me as the subject of his kingship. But he is in his place and I am in my place. Zogt Alter Rebbe, it's much more than that. One must further remember and contemplate, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav, and behold, Hashem himself stands over him, umaloich al aretz kvaydoi, and the whole world is filled with his glory. Umabit alav, and he gazes at him. Uboich in klayez v'leif, and he searches his reins and his heart, his innermost thoughts and emotions, to see im aivdei karoi, if he's serving him as fitting. As though what Alter Rebbe is saying, Hashem, kivayachal Hashem, so to speak, goes away, leaves behind everything he's doing. And he's nitzav alav, he's standing over me, over this individual Jew. And he's gazing at him every single moment because he wants that I should be his servant and he wants that he wants to be my king. That's his yearning, that's his craving. Beyond everything, there's mamala kalam and the save of kalam, and it's all true. But he wants that I should be his servant and he wants to be my king. And he's standing and gazing at me, how I am behaving, and in my innermost thoughts and emotions, Claudius Velev, to see how I'm serving him. And as the Alter Rebbe, we understand it from the Alter Rebbe, it's not only when they blow shofar and Rosh Hashanah. It's not only when you say Kol Nidri and Yom Kippur, or when you scream Hashem Hu Elokim et Ne'il of Yom Kippur. Even a simple Wednesday morning when I wake up in the morning exhausted, or a simple Monday evening when I come home from work stressed and burdened. So at that moment, the Jew should remember that Hashem is standing right there and gazing at him, seeing how he's serving him and what type of relationship it is. When we were children, the Rebbe once spoke to us. Was Rosh Chodesh Elul 1983, Tav Shebem Gimel. He spoke to the children of the schools, and he quoted this Tanya, and he gave a vivid example for children, a very, very dramatic example, a very practical example. He said, as children, you wake up in the morning, and you see that there's a delicious piece of food, let's say a delicious Danish, a chocolate Danish on the table. One Danish left. So you right away go, you want to eat it. So your father asks you, did you already wash Negelwasser? You're a little kid. And did you say brachas, the blessings in the morning that we say before we eat anything? Brachas Hashach. So the negative inclination tells you, you know the truth that you didn't wash Negelwasser. But if you tell him you didn't wash Negelwasser and you didn't say the blessings yet, that's going to take a few minutes. In the meantime, your brother or sister can come out from another corner in the home and consume the Danish. So he tells the boy, tell your father that you washed Negelwasser. Tell your father that you did brachas. And then your father will give it to you. You'll go to the next room. You'll do Negelwasser. You'll say brachas and then you'll eat it. So what happened? You didn't eat without Negelwasser. Your hands were pure. It's just you told your father a lie that's not even a real lie because you're about to do it. That was the example he described. So you go ahead and you do it. So he continued, but you fart a Jewish kid, a Yiddish kid, so you regret it. So you want to go back to your father and you want to tell him the truth, that you should know this morning, I really didn't wash Nagavasa. He says, that's the natural inclination of the Jewish child. So the negative inclination, Yetzirah, comes back to you and says, no, it wouldn't be a wise idea. Because if you tell him that you lied, you'll be humiliating yourself and he'll never believe you again. Which means now when you're really doing tshuva and you're going to start saying truth, he's never going to believe you. Not only that, if you care for your parents, it's going to humiliate them as well, that they have a child who lies. If you care for your teachers, it's going to humiliate them as well. The child they educated is a liar. So better withhold the truth and don't confess it. So the Rebbe continued and he said, the child has to remember, as vihine, this is how he said it, vihine Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem is standing right near you when you're going over to that Danish and telling your father that I washed negelvas. And he said in Yiddish, the Eberste steht in front von dir. Wie kannst du sagen, er liegen in sein Ponim? Du likest doch in sein Ponim herein. How can you stand in front of Hashem and lie in his face? Your father might not know, your mother might not know, but Hashem is standing and looking at you, and he wants at that moment to have a relationship with you, and in his face you're uttering a lie. And then he says, when you'd lied already, Hashem is begging and yearning that you should confess it and become a true person, become a genuine person again. So he's standing and watching it. So he said, you'll be humiliated for a moment. What value does that humiliation have relative to the fact of the joy? He says, Hashem will become so joyous that you redefine yourself as a servant of Hashem and he can become your king again. It reminds me the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, there was once a chassid who went into the fourth Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Rebbe Marash, and he saw that the Rebbe Marash had a handkerchief, and it was covering something. And he at that time he was going in a lot, he saw that when everybody leaves the room, he removes the handkerchief. And when people are there, he puts the handkerchief over whatever's on the table. So once, he smuggled himself in, he creeped in, and he was curious to see what's there. So he saw there's a piece of parchment, and on the piece of parchment it says, Shivisi Hashem Lenegdi Samet, I place Hashem before me constantly. But then when people came in, he didn't want them to see, he covered it. We were talking about it already. There was once at a Fabrengen, at a Hasidic gathering, the Rebbe also once quoted this Tanya concerning craving, also concerning the craving to food. And he said that a Jew ate fleishiks, deli, and he waited 5 hours and 59 minutes. And he's starving. He wants a cup of milk or a coffee or a piece of cheese or whatever it is. And he says, who cares? I'm hungry. You know, when you're hungry, you're just hungry, right? You can't, God forbid, to wait 1 minute. He says, who cares? I want to eat right now. He says, V'hini Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem is poinim mekolosav. Hashem leaves everything behind and he's watching you. Can you wait 1 more minute just to define yourself as a godly human being, as a godly person? Wait 1 more minute. 5 hours and 59 minutes, Hashem is begging that 1 minute. And the same, Alter Rebbe is bringing out this point that a Yid always has to contemplate this and remember this. Whatever it is, whether it's before a relation, whether it's connected to his relationships, it's connected to his eating habits, connected to his work habits, whatever it is, then Hashem is right there in front of his face and he is in an active relationship with him. Val Kain, and the conclusion of this is, therefore, Tzarech Laved Lefanov Be'emo Be'ira. He must serve Hashem. He must serve in Hashem's presence with awe and fear. Ka'aymed lifnei ha-melech, like one standing before the king. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? Not like the fear that you experience when you're located in the king's domain, in the king's capital, in the king's palace. But that awe, that fear that you experience when you're standing in front of the king, because that is indeed the reality concerning every single Jew. He's standing right now in front of the king. V'yamik b'machshav ezu. One must meditate profoundly on this thought, v'yarich ba, and meditate upon it at length, kifi yicholus hasagas meichei machshavte, according to the capacity of the apprehension of his mind and thought. And of course, based on the time that's available to him to devote himself to this contemplation. But Alter Rebbe says, when should he think about it? He should think about this thought and meditate upon it, and according to his capacity, as long as he can. When? The primary time for this is, as he began in the beginning of the chapter, Lifnei Eisek HaTorah HaMitzvah. Before he engages in the study of Torah, the performance of a mitzvah, he should think about this. K'may lifnei levishas talis or tefillin, such as before putting on his talis or tefillin, because as we said, not just does one need yira, does one need awe and fear to refrain from a negative mitzvah, but as the Alter Rebbe began this chapter, even for a say toiv, even for a positive mitzvah, before you're going to put on tefillin, before you're going to put on your talis in the morning, or before any mitzvah, or before you sit down to learn Gemara, or to learn Chumash, or to learn Mishnayos, or to learn Halacha, whatever you're learning, before that, the Jew needs to, and ought to introduce within his heart, or at least within his or her mind, a sense of yira, an awe, basic fear of Hashem. So this is the nature of the contemplation and the meditation, thinking about what he described above to introduce this passion, this awesome awe and fear standing in the presence of Hashem. There was once a chassid who came one day late to shul. So they asked him, why did you come late today? Usually he came to the earlier minyan, he came to the later minyan. He said he woke up in the morning and he said, Moida ani lefanecha. I thank you, Eternal King. He said, I said it one day. I started thinking, Maida, I'm thanking. What am I thanking? Who am I thanking? Why am I thanking? Ani, I. Who is the I? What is the significance of the I? Lefanecha, in front of you. Who is this Lefanecha, Hashem? He said, I was thinking and thinking. Till I made it here, it took a while. So the Alter Rebbe is saying, but this is the nature, before every mitzvah, before learning Torah, of what a Jew should think about. And that's why he calls it Reishis Avodah V'Ikra V'Sharsha. It's the beginning, it's the core, and it's the root of the divine service. Zogad Alter Rebbe, V'Gam Yizbainein. He should also reflect, in addition to the above, he should also reflect how the energy of the blessed Ein Sof, Hasayiv Kol Almin, Umamala Kol Almin, which encompasses all the worlds and fills all the worlds, Hu Ratzon Elyon, which is identical with the higher will, the will of Hashem, Hu Melubash Ba'Oisiz V'Chachmas HaTorah, is closed in the letters and in the wisdom of Torah, oy betzitzis utfilin elu, or in these tzitzis and these tfilin. Good question. Before he said talis, and here he said tzitzis. I'll address it in a moment. What is the Alter Rebbe saying? You should think like this. He discussed in earlier chapters that the source of the life force of all the worlds is called Ratzon Elyon, Hashem's inner will. Hashem's inner desire, that's like the prime motivator and the beginning, the prompter of everything, of all expression of energy on all levels, and so even the energy of Mamala Kol Almin and so forth. This Ratzon HaAlyon, this inner will of Hashem that is the source of all the worlds and of all life, is enclosed and expressed in the wisdom of Torah, in the letters of Torah, and in these tzitzis and tefillin. As explained at length in Tanya in chapter 23 and other chapters, that Torah and mitzvahs are not just commandments of Hashem for the sake of a person refining himself, for the sake of a person receiving reward, receiving paradise, and so on and so forth. Rather, beyond all that, Torah and mitzvahs are Hashem's intimate and most inner will and desire. Torah and mitzvahs precede, transcend all of the husks, all of the opaque veils that characterize creation on all levels. Torah and mitzvahs are, so to speak, Hashem's intimate eye exposed on the deepest intimate level. Hashem's inner will, Hashem's inner wisdom, which is one with Him. That's Torah and mitzvahs. So this tzitzis, or this tefillin that I'm putting on now, is a facilitator, is an expressor of Hashem's essential essence, of Hashem's inner eye. Right? There's that moment when the best friend tears off all his shirts, all the garments, and says, "Here I am." And this is tzitzis, this is tefillin, or this is this word, or this idea of Torah that I'm going to comprehend. Talis essentially doesn't have a kedusha, doesn't have holiness. Tzitzis is that which contains the holiness. So before, when he's saying you should contemplate it before you put on talis and tefillin, you say before you put on talis, before you put on tefillin. But here he's talking about that element which is the facilitator of Hashem's intimate will, the mitzvah, the primary mitzvah is in the tzitzis. The holiness of the tzitzis, that is where the holiness of the mitzvah is, as explained in Shulchan Aruch at length. So here he says tzitzis. So the person thinks about this, or b'kiyase, or b'livishase. And through his recitation, or study of Torah, or by his wearing tzitzis and tefillin, humam shecheiris baruch alav, he draws upon himself his blessed energy. Hashem's blessed inner energy. Dehainu al chelek alekami mal shebeteich gufi. That means, over the part of Hashem above, which abides in his body, his soul experiences this inner divine energy, likalel v'libatel b'eiris baruch, becoming absorbed and nullified in Hashem's blessed light. So when the Jew contemplates this before a mitzvah, in addition to the first contemplation, the former contemplation didn't deal with the mitzvah. It dealt with a general truth that Hashem chose you to be a king over and is standing over you and gazing at you. And that evokes an awe. Furthermore, he's to contemplate what is happening right now when I'm about to do this mitzvah. When I'm about to do this mitzvah, I'm becoming absorbed in Hashem's intimate energy that is now being exposed through the tzitzis, through the tefillin, through the Torah. And that evokes a major awe, a major fear in the human being's heart. This is every mitzvah and any mitzvah. Zagdal Terebbe. And this is the final point we want to deal with today. V'derech prat, then there is another contemplation, a third contemplation, which has to do with the specific mitzvah. For example, b'tfilin. Let's take through tefillin. In addition to the fact that every mitzvah exposes, so to speak, Hashem's intimate self in this world, each mitzvah particularly exposes or is a communication of another element of Hashem's intimate energy. And it overwhelms and permeates another element of man's soul, and of man's character, and of man's experience. And this is what he goes on. V'derech prat, specifically, let's take b'tefillin. What is tefillin? L'batel v'likalel b'chines chachmasei b'nafsei. Shebinafsei ha'alikiz b'chines chachmasei b'nafsei sholein say baruch. Through tefillin, the attributes of conception and comprehension in the divine soul are nullified and absorbed in the attributes of conception and comprehension of Hashem. Which are manifested in particular in the passages of Kadesh and Vahayaki Viyach, which are found in the Tefillin. These two passages, I will explain in a moment, Kadosh and V'hayayiki V'yacha, express Hashem's intimate chachma and bina, Hashem's intimate conception and comprehension. When I put on tefillin, so my own chachma and bina of my soul, my conception and comprehension, are now nullified and absorbed in the energy, in the truth of existence, which is Hashem's energy of chachma and bina. Now, what does this mean practically, that it's absorbed? Ahainu, this means, Shaloi lishtamish b'chachmasei b'nasei shebenafshei bilti l'Hashem levadei. That he should use the wisdom, the conception and comprehension that is in his soul only for Hashem alone. not to use his power of chachma, of conception and comprehension, only for Hashem, for godliness, for holiness, for spirituality. V'chein, and similarly, le'botel v'le'kalol b'chines adash v'nafshe. The attribute of das in the soul, which is the attribute of implication, there is conception, comprehension, and implication, chachma b'nei das, becomes absorbed, and becomes nullified and absorbed. And he explains right away. This attribute of das includes both the attribute of love, the attribute of attraction, and the attribute of rejection, the attribute of gevura. Das includes both. So my das becomes nullified and absorbed, the b'chinas das ha'elyon, into the attribute of the higher knowledge of Hashem's das, hakoyel chesed the gvura, which also comprises attraction and rejection, hamalubish beparshas Shema v'hayim Shemaya, which is closed in the passage of Shema and v'hayim Shemaya. V'hainu k'mesha kasev b'shulchan aruch. This accords with what it says in Shulchan Aruch and Arachayim. L'shabed haleva amayachuli, that while putting on tefillin, one should intend to make one's heart and mind subservient to Hashem. What is the Alter Rebbe saying here? Everybody knows that in tefillin, there are four, we write in the parchment that's contained within the tefillin boxes, there are four sections of the Torah. There is Kadesh and Vahayaki V'yacha, which are at the conclusion of Parshas Boy. And then there is Shema and Vahayim Shemaya, which are in Parshas Veschana. The Zohar explains in Parshas Veschanan, the Arizal explains this at length in Pri Yetz Chaim, the Alter Rebbe in his discourses, that the first two sections, Kaddish and Vahayaki V'yacha, are manifestations of Hashem's intimate energy of Chachma and Bina. The first one is Kaddish Likol B'char, sanctify to me every forestborn, which is Chachma. Chachma is the first expression of the soul, its conception, that's B'char. Which is the theme of the first section that's contained in the tefillin. The second is Vahayaki V'yacha, which discusses at length the exodus of Egypt, as well as Vahayaki Yish'ol Chavincha, when your child inquires by you and wants to know Ma'zais, which is what Bina is all about. Not just conception, the kernel of the idea, we discuss this at length in chapter 3 and 18, but it's Bina, it's the comprehension, it's the development of the idea, it's also the concept of the exodus of Egypt, as Zohar explains at length, it's explained in Chassidus that Chachma is a kernel, and Bina contains 50 gates in which the concept is liberated from enslavement, and enters into a very broad realm where it becomes uninhibited and pervasive and covers all of the elements and all of the details. That's the 50 portals of Bina. The Zohar says that 50 times in Chumash Yitzias Mitzrayim is mentioned, and so forth. Shema, v'haftas Hashem alakach, v'chal avavcha, is a law of chesed. V'hayim Shemaya, imloite, v'hayim Shemaya deals with the negative, right away begins. If you will listen to Hashem's voice, I will give rain, and right away. And if not, it's more of a rejective, disciplinarian type of parsha. It's a reflection, it's a revelation of Hashem's inner energy of Gevurah. It's interesting, you know, everybody knows that there was a major dispute between Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam, right? What's the order of the parshas? The order of the parshas, according to the opinion of Rashi, is from the one who gazes at the tefillin, from the perspective of the kairi, from the one, not from the wearer of the tefillin, from the one looking. If you're wearing tefillin, I'm looking at you, so on the right is Kadesh, so that's Chachma. Right near that is Vahayaki V'yacha, is Bina. Right near that is Shema, is Chesed, and Vahayim Shemaya is Gevura. So you come in Rabbeinu Tam in Taisvus Menachas Daf Lama Dalar Amid Beis, and Rabbeinu Tam said, no, Avayis Adadi, the two Vahayas have to be together. Kadesh, Vahaya Ki V'yacha, Vahaya Im Shemaya, and then Shema. Shema is on the left, not the second to the left, from the perspective of the gazer, of the viewer on the tefillin. Now, the Zohar, it's not an argument that Rabbeinu Tam initiated. Jews were putting on tefillin for thousands of years before Rabbeinu Tam. They could have easily checked tefillin. It's an argument that goes way, way back. Some people say that it was existed in the times of Moshe Rabbeinu as well. Now the custom is, the halacha is basically like Rashi. Although Shulchan Aruch, it says in different poskim, the Alter Rebbe brings it in Shulchan Aruch that a Yirei Shemayim, a God-fearing Jew, should put on both. But Minnegoyim, the custom of the world, is like Rashi. Now it says in Zayar that the tefillin of Ahayim, the two Vahayas together, which would have been a Tam's tefillin, is the tefillin me'alma da'asi, is the tefillin of Mashiach, is the tefillin of the future world. So the Arizal explains in Pri Yitzchayim and Shar HaTefillin that the tefillin of Rabbeinu Tam is Chachma. The tefillin of Rashi is Bina, which means, although all tefillin have all of the elements as discussed here, but the question is, what's the predominant factor? From Rabbeinu Tam's perspective, tefillin is Chachma, and from Rashi's perspective, tefillin is Bina. And that's why this tefillin is the Mashiach-like tefillin, because the tefillin of Chachma is much deeper, it's a much higher level than the tefillin of Bina. Now, so the Arizal explains, we don't have time right now to get into that, that's the difference, because Bina is feminine energy and Chachma is masculine energy. So he says the feminine body as well as the feminine character can contain Chesed and Gvura simultaneously. So you have Kadesh, V'hayuki V'yach, and then Shmas Chesed, V'hayim Shemayas Gvura. Masculine energy and masculine body can't contain Chesed and Gvura. So what happens is, after you have Shema and V'hayim Shemaya from Chachma, which is masculine energy, Chesed comes in, but when Gvura comes in, when the man experiences rejection, the attraction has to leave. The rejection pushes away the Chesed. The woman can contain both, they can coexist. So Chesed comes in first, Chesed always comes in first, and then Gvura comes in, and they're there. So you have V'hayim Shema and V'hayim Shemaya. But in masculine energy, the V'hayim Shemaya pushes away the Shema. So V'hayim Shemaya gets to be near V'hayim Kaviyach, and then Shema comes back around and gets its way in. He discusses at length what this means, and Chassidus explains it in psychological terms, but essentially, what do we have from this? That this is the particular contemplation that deals with the specific mitzvah. Chachma and Bina of a human being is a product of many husks and veils. As discussed in the 20s of Tanya. That was the foundation of what the unity of Hashem means. The nature, the essence of reality is Hashem's unity. That's what Torah and Mitzvah is. Torah and Mitzvah is a manifestation of Hashem's intimate essence. So there is, every mitzvah achieves that state. But particularly the Jew ought also to contemplate on the specific nature of this mitzvah. I'm putting on tefillin now. What am I doing? Right now I'm having an exposure of Hashem's intimate Chachma, Bina, Chesed, and Gvura of these faculties in my soul becoming absorbed, which in turn enhances the awe and the fear in even a more profound way, as Dr. Rebbe will continue in the continuation of the chapter. Conclude with a little story. By the way, there's another two sets of tefillin. You know, there are Jews who put on four pieces of tefillin. Shemusha Rabbah and Raivit. Rabbah and Raivit, and that explains in Kabbalah as Keser. Keser is the element of Hashem that transcends even the spheres, the attributes. Shemusha Rabbah and Raivit. Tzemach Tzedek, the grandson of the Alter Rebbe, once went on a journey visiting many communities in Russia. And he was accompanied by his son, the Rebbe Maharash of Shmuel of Lubavitch. And all the cities that he visited came out to greet him, and they bestowed upon him a lot of honor and glory, expressing to him and demonstrating their profound gratitude and commitment and love towards him as the leader then of Russian Jewry. And the Rebbe Maharash, his son, was very pleased. So he wrote a letter back home about the Gevaldika cover, the Gevaldika honor that his father received from Jews of all walks of life and of all backgrounds, from the Hasidic world and from the non-Hasidic world, how much respect they demonstrated towards him. And this is a letter he wrote home. When they returned home to Lubavitch, the city of Lubavitch where they lived, Tzemach Tzedek came home, and one day he was walking in the house and he found the letter. And he read it.
So afterwards he calls in his son and he says, mein Blut hat sich gegossen und du hast geschöpft nachas. My blood was being poured and you were quelling. And he says, I want to explain to you what goes on. There was once a king who decided that he wants to go see how his subjects live. But to go dressed as a king would not allow him that opportunity, because the moment they would see the king is coming, they would stop doing what they usually do. So he dressed up like a regular, ordinary citizen, and he went into the marketplace. But he didn't want to go alone, because something can happen to him. So he was accompanied by his general, his chief general. So they both walk into the marketplace, and suddenly everybody sees the chief general. So they stop doing what they're doing. They begin saluting the general. He's giving, the general is here, the general is here. And everybody bestowed upon him unbelievable honor. And the general himself, he said his blood was pouring like water. He was so humiliated. He was so embarrassed. He's right here in the presence of the king. And nobody's even looking in that guy's direction. That guy is worthless. He's insignificant. It's all about me. So the Tzemach Tzedek said, told the Rebbe Marv, V'hinei Hashem nitzav alav. Hashem is standing right here. How can I even have a desire to take any honor to myself? Have a good evening and a wonderful week. God willing, we will continue next week, Sunday night at 8:30. You didn't ask the second diuk. The bottle of the lekalu. We're going to make a minyan for Ma'ariv. Huh? Likewise. Good to see your face.
The technical second contemplation invoke Yira. I would think it would invoke Mahavir. He's saying that you're melting away, you're fusing
because it denotes his insignificance. Lebatel v'lekali becomes nullified. As he'll explain later, in love, one doesn't become nullified.
But doesn't start a haver right away. Once you start doing the mitzvah, you do it with a haver. I don't think it's getting to start.
Yeah, but he's saying before that, there has to be the basic year.
Once he's saying that there's a vital haste,
a sense of self nullification. Okay, yeah, that's good. You want to have a Maidiv? Oh, yeah. The Rebbe used to advise a lot of people to learn by heart from Bidam till Ka'aymed Lufnei HaMelech. Top of Ahmed Beis. A lot of people.
How is this place on Nefesh when you're so much involved with the Amish that somehow you...
Place on Nefesh is where a man actually expires. He's not talking about that.
But I mean,
there are people who can...
But through love, I mean, that's the whole idea of Bittul, be able to try to get yourself...
He's going to explain. He discusses it at length. But you see what I'm saying? Huh? Yeah. First he says, lekalu v'lebatel. Then he says, lebatel v'lekalu. And then the third time he says, lebatel v'lichla. You see that?
Right?
Yeah. Why al chelik lekami mal shabatech gufay l'cha'eda? What about the nefesh Bahamas? Because he explained in Perek Lamed Hey that there's a very big difference of how the Eir is experienced in the nefesh Lekis and the Eir is experienced in the nefesh Bahamas. It totally can't be compared. The lekalul v'lebatel is only by the nefesh Lekis. In Perek of Gimel and in Perek Lamed Hey, discussed it at length. That's why he says only the chelik alakamim mal. It's only the chelik alakamim mal that's a keli for lebatel v'lekalo. The guf and the nefesh Bahamas experience a profound change, but not lebatel v'lekalo, not lekalo v'lebatel. So in Likut Levi Yitzchak Antanya, he says like this: lekalo means you're absorbed. Yeah? Lebatel means you're nullified. It's two totally different things. Absorbed means you're absorbed. You become part of it, so to speak. Lebatel means you become nullified. You're reduced to zero. He says, in the first Hizbanos, where you're thinking about what the mitzvah itself accomplishes, the mitzvah itself has here Hashem's intimate presence revealed. So Hashem's presence is exposed and revealed. It absorbs you. And it nullifies you. Why? Because it's coming, as he puts it, milmailu lamata. It's coming from above down. When he's talking about the individual mitzvah, it's talking about man's attempt on his own to transcend himself, to take his chachma and bin and use it only for Hashem, and so forth. So in man's attempt, it doesn't begin with lekal, it doesn't begin with being absorbed. It begins with being nullified. When Hashem takes you into Him, so you're absorbed and you're nullified. When you're going up, the first thing is you're nullified and then you're absorbed. The third time he says, lebatel v'lichla. There's no yud, instead there's a vav. So, look at Levi Yitzchak, he's mazbid al derecha kabbalah. Das is kelel chesed and gvura. The vav, which are the yisid of the vav middas, the six middas. Chachma and bina is the yud. Chachma is the yud, and bina is an extension of the chachma, is also the yud. So there he said lekal, here he said lichla.
To order additional MP3 CDs, call Heichal Menachem at 718-633-1076 or visit us at www.chassidus.com. That is chassidus.com.